And it's time to preview the season here with the Hockey Writers. And graciously joining us this morning is TSN insider Bob McKenzie. And Bob, we just wanted to get started here just talking about the restricted free agents. I know you took the Twitter the other day and kind of laid it all out for us. Is there any further update that you can give as of Wednesday morning here?
Well, I think as the week unfolds, and now we're literally just 1 week away, the season opens a week today, I think you're going to see the dialogue start to pick up in a lot of these cases where there hadn't been dialogue in the past. You know, I don't know for a fact that Johnny Goodrow is talking to the Calgary Flames now, but I know that he wasn't for the longest time, and I wouldn't be surprised if he and all the other restricted free agents, the level of discussion between their agents and their various teams, whether it's Hampus Lindholm in Anaheim, Rickard Rakell in Anaheim. We've seen Toby Reeder obviously get signed by the Arizona Coyotes. You've got Ristolainen in Buffalo, a couple others still floating around out there. This is the week when the conversation is going to pick up and the negotiations are going to heat up, and then we'll see where we are as we get closer. The two sides always get driven together the closer the season comes, and the opportunity or the chance that the players could be experiencing real loss in terms of not being paid on opening night, and also their clubs could be experiencing real loss in terms of having to play regular season games without key players on their team.
And just real quick, do you expect everybody to eventually sign with their team in this case?
Well, you know what? The rules now are stacked against long absences. We don't call them holdouts because technically they don't have a contract, so they're not obliged to provide any services until such time that they do. So you can't call a restricted free agent a holdout anymore. But with the new rule in the CBA, like the more recent CBA anyways, that you had to be signed by December 1st to play in the league for the rest of the season, that's a pretty big hammer that works against the players to some degree and certainly drives the two sides together. And because all the restricted free agents know that this thing can't go longer than December 1st, sometimes it just forces them to say, you know what, it's crazy even drag it out that long. Let's get this done now. So I think that's the mindset for both teams and players, and that's why they get driven together, which maybe isn't a bad thing.
Absolutely. So, Bob, you wrote a really good piece on TSN the other day talking about just the youth that are coming into the league. I mean, if we think it's a foregone conclusion that like an Austin Matthews and a Patrick Laine are going to make their teams, but what about other players like a Dylan Strome or like a Pierre-Luc Dubois or even Alexander Fortin in Chicago? Do you expect some of them to make a real strong case to make their team? And is there anybody else that is kind of floating under the radar that we think could make the opening night roster?
Well, really, throughout the league, everybody, a lot of teams are being desperate now deciding whether their 18, 19, 20-year-olds are ready for primetime duty. And everybody knows the rules by now. You can, on an entry-level contract for a first-year player, you can play 9 regular season games without burning that first year of the entry-level deal. You could be sent back to junior by then. So that option exists for a lot of teams, and a lot of teams will take that and see how the players fare. But you're right, it was a bumper 2015 prop in the draft, and a lot of those guys are coming to pass now. So we're seeing Mitch Marner with the Toronto Maple Leafs in addition to Austin Matthews. You're seeing Dylan Strome with the Arizona Coyotes. But, I mean, Arizona, they've got Jacob Chychrun, the 18-year-old defenseman, is showing really well. He could be on the opening day roster. Lawson Crouse, who they got from Florida in a trade this summer for taking the David Bolin contract, he was 11th overall pick in 2015. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to start the season in Arizona. And Arizona is also likely to start 20-year-old Christian Dvorak, who's too old to go back to junior hockey, but he looks like he could be a good rookie. So Coyotes are really young, and that's the way they're going to go. There'll be some growing pains there, but they're certainly on the right track with a lot of their talent. The Fortan thing in Chicago was amazing. I mean, we're talking about mostly high-profile first-round picks that play in the league as an 18- and 19-year-old, and here's a kid that was bypassed in both the 2015 and 2016 NHL draft, gets invited to the Blackhawks prospect camp in the summer, shows well, gets invited to play for the Traverse City tournament, plays really well, gets invited to their main camp, shows really well, and gets an NHL contract. And now here he is as a 19-year-old and played pretty well last night on a line with Anisimov and Kane. Now, I don't know if he's going to stick. And I don't know if he'll get games to start the season, but it's intriguing that somebody way, way, way off the radar is there. So, but, you know, pick a team, and they've got kids. The Winnipeg Jets, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, who was the best player in college hockey last year, he should be a regular this year, and he's just about to turn 20 years old. So I could go on and on and on, but we'd be here all morning talking about all these guys. But suffice to say that, you know, Konechny and Provorov in Philadelphia, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it does. And I wanted to bring you, you mentioned Mitch Marner earlier, and we were kind of wondering, I know there's been a little bit of talk around, and I'm not sure how far that's gotten, about changing the draft age to 19, or even altering to where if someone's in the CHL, they could go to the AHL if they were 19. Have you heard anything on that? Is there any thing that we could expect to see in the future there?
Well, they did have the kind of a behind-the-scenes summit with a lot of stakeholders, NHLPA, IIHF, but mostly North American college hockey, junior hockey, NCAA, CHL, as well as NHL. And they have worked some models and some different scenarios where, you know, maybe a 19-year-old draft would be feasible. And I think they are going to continue to explore that. It's not going to happen immediately by any stretch, but I think ultimately down the road, it wouldn't surprise me if they find a way to come up with a 19-year-old draft, but they do have to allow for exceptions and for legal reasons and not preventing exceptional 18-year-olds from making a living in the National Hockey League. But these things tend to get, you know, as part of a collective bargaining agreement. So it's fascinating to see how it all plays out. Now, on the issue of, you know, Mitch Marner's obviously outgrown junior hockey, and there's no question that given the choice, if the Leafs did have to send him back to junior, they'd much rather send him to the American Hockey League, and they can't because of the transfer agreement rules with the Canadian Hockey League, the development agreement that exists between the NHL and the CHL.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people say you got to make this exception or that exception if you've played 3 years in the league, if you're a first-round pick, you know, you should be able to be sent to the AHL. But I tend to think of the Canadian Hockey League is a little bit of a fragile balance. And if you start taking out too many of the 19-year-old stars to play in the American Hockey League, not the National Hockey League, I think you could substantially weaken the pool of talent in junior hockey, and that hurts the development of the 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds who don't get the benefit of playing against elite players. And you're right, occasionally you get a player like Marner who clearly shows that he's outgrown the system. But I'd rather send one kid like that back to junior hockey than I'll pave the way for 10 or 11 of them that maybe aren't ready to play in the American Hockey League, but NHL teams would be forcing the decision and weakening junior hockey in the process. So I don't have a problem with the way the rules are right now, and I think these kids like Water always find their own level.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff there. And then I want to talk about Las Vegas for a minute. We're about to start the season. This will be the last time that we'll have 30 teams starting the league. Next year we'll have 31. Do we know anything yet about how revenue sharing and or the salary cap might work since there's going to be 31 teams dipping into revenues at all? Is there anything you can inform us on this?
Yeah, no, I haven't really drilled down on a lot of the business side of things for expansion other than the fact we know we're expanding. We know there's going to be a 31st team. It's going to be in Las Vegas, and George McPhee obviously is running the hockey operations there as the general manager, and everybody's got to gear up for the expansion draft. So I think most of the focus has been on how teams prepare for the expansion draft, how they try to protect or shelter their players, what deals they might be able to cut with Las Vegas 2 or 3 weeks before the expansion draft to maybe offer them inducements not to take this player or not to take that player. That always happens in expansion drafts. But in terms of, you know, there's the rules, the financial rules for Vegas and what they can and can't have in terms of revenue sharing or setup, but I haven't really memorized those yet.
Okay. And just we'll wrap it up here. Just one final question about the season. We know the teams that are expected to do well, the Penguins, the Capitals, the Kings, other teams. Who in your mind, if there's maybe like two or three teams that we're not paying enough attention to that have a real good shot of making the playoffs this year?
Well, I'll be interested in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Carolina and Jersey didn't make it last year, but they were surprisingly competitive. And I think Billy Peters and John Hines did tremendous jobs with both of those teams. And I think both those teams have made some moves in the offseason to try and increase their depth, to try and increase their skill. And And so I'm not saying for sure that Carolina and Jersey will knock somebody out of the box to get into the playoffs, but I wouldn't sleep on them either. I think they're starting to become sneaky good, and it'll be interesting to see whether I think both teams were probably greater than the sum of their parts last year, and they have made some moves. Obviously, Taylor Hall is a profile one for New Jersey. I'll be curious to see what rookie Sebastian Aho does with the Hurricanes and amongst others. So I'll keep an eye on those two teams as teams that I think are ready to take a step forward. I don't know that it'll be right into the playoffs, but I think they're continuing to trend in the right direction.
TSN insider Bob McKenzie joining us. Enjoy the season. Thanks for the time this morning.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Mark.